Welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio, and happy holidays in the holiday season. And since it is the holiday season, this is an episode of a best of. And what I've done this time is taken what's one of the best episodes according to feedback and downloads from this year of 2025. And since it's a vacation time right now with the holidays, and Pam's actually on the other side of the world in India for a wedding, so she's having a fabulous time all of this week, we're going to revisit Better Oral Sex, which was from almost a year ago. And in this episode, we're not talking technique, so I figure it's a really good chance to refresh, because this is about focusing on connection over technique. It's also about how it's a lens for our own levels of self-awareness, our reactions, our insecurities, our self-worth, our identity as it pertains to our sex lives, particularly when it plays out in oral sex. And then we land in the idea of the deeper issue of care, and how a lot of times this is one of the most difficult aspects to really look at, is how much care is actually happening for myself and for my spouse. And then the extended content is a continuation of this episode, where we go into some more of the preconceived notions and our reactions that we can often have, and then sometimes how our reactions really make and shape our experience when it comes to pleasure and connection. So hope you enjoy a look back at one of the best of for 2025. We need to set a stage first, because tell me which way you think is best to go with this. Everybody, if you're new to Sexy Marriage Radio, welcome. Glad to see you here. Check us out on YouTube, by the way, because the set's getting closer and closer to being done, if not almost already done now. But it's an element of, if you're new here, my training is under Dr. David Schnarch, is where I've done a ton of training when he was still alive. And he uses the concept called differentiation, which is the psychobabble term for being able to hold on to myself while being in close proximity to somebody else. They happen together simultaneously. Mm-hmm. It's not at the exclusion of one or the other.
Right.
So differentiation is not individuation, where I am my own person. It's in the context of a relationship always. And we have used the terminology of growing up. Right, of helping us grow up.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes for our conversations that are a little more theoretical, like we'll have today, I might need to use the word differentiation more. But I'm curious, because you're the one that's always like, no, don't keep changing words on me, dude, because it's harder to follow because I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Sorry. It took me the longest time to understand what differentiation really meant. But I think it proves the point. Use the word.
Okay. So I have your freedom to,
go ahead.
I have the blessing.
Use the word.
I have the blessing. Okay.
Most of our listeners are smarter than me, so they'll be fine using the word differentiation.
Okay. So here's the way, if we look at our lives through the lens of our development, here's how it impacts our sex life, particularly as it pertains to oral sex.
Okay.
Right? Because I think this is, we need to set the stage so that listeners, and I did this, went kind of through this inventory myself on, okay, how well am I with these different aspects? What do I know about me? Where am I missing some things maybe as it pertains to my sex life with you, right? Because we get the double benefit of presenting this, but also working through it and helping walk alongside other people too, all at the same time. So when we talk about how my ability to handle myself plays out in my sex life, particularly as it comes to oral sex, because this is like the show 2 weeks ago with masturbation, that the word oral sex hits people in a variety of different ways. Like when you know your spouse is really interested in participating in something or having something that's oral, there's a variety of, no, I can't do that. No, good girls don't do that. No, a guy, why would I go down there? You know, all of these different reactions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of them are based on anxiety, ignorance, inexperience, insecurity.
impressions.
Self-worth.
What does it say?
Right. Identity.
Yeah.
And all of that is what's being exposed here.
Yeah.
And when I can look at it through that lens, the way this thing starts, as far as our conversation goes to me, is how do I look at my reactions when I think about that aspect of my sex life? Do I even think about it, or do I immediately get a disgust reaction or a little bit of an aversion reaction or a little bit of a really amped up, oh, yes, I'm desperate for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can look at it on what does it elicit in me, there's my first entryway into what's the meaning of this.
Yeah. And I mean, do we need to start off with our conversation is not even addressing the trauma side of it. The people who have had abuse in this arena,
fair,
right? We're not even.
But it still plays a part.
It absolutely plays a part. But I don't think that that's where you're spending a lot of the time on what you're talking about today.
Well,
is that accurate?
Maybe this is going to be 75 not and 25 I would. It does apply because there's still an element of my entry into an aspect sets the stage for how I'm going to live with that. And so when
absolutely,
it keeps coming back up in my life, because if I'm in a marriage that is that one spouse is interested in a vibrant, novel, engaged, variety packed, filled, if you will, sex life, this is going to be part of the conversation most likely. Right? I mean, it's going to be something that they might want more than you.
Yeah.
Or you
likely
want more than
come,
them.
Yeah.
And so regardless of how you have been introduced into this, it still is an aspect of your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding the trauma or the triggers or the aspects that based on how you were entered into this still is important to wrestle through the meanings associated with that, because is that meaning present now? That's part of our healing.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, particularly when it comes to sexual trauma, our path to healing is oftentimes through the very path that caused the trauma too. Not the situation and the power and all of those dynamics.
Yeah.
But having a different relationship to this aspect of my life is how I go through a path of starting to heal.
Yeah. That's tough to think about, but okay.
It absolutely is, but it's a lot of people's experience.
It is, for sure.
And so looking at it as a way to, how do I look at this through a lens of meaning is where I can actually then start to get more intimacy. Because a person that has a stronger sense of self in this or is more differentiated in this aspect, well, let's juxtapose it, because you got two different sides of this equation, right? A stronger sense of self and a weaker sense of self is just the easiest way to describe it in the theory. So if I have a weaker sense of self when it comes to my sex life, particularly with oral sex, I would want you to initiate it more than me be more bold and ask for or direct what I would like.
Okay.
Because it's more, I just don't want to put myself out there because I'm not as secure. And the reverse is true for a woman, that she would want her partner to initiate it. You know, her husband, I want you to lead this, and I just want to lay back and not really participate. It's like, this is more for you anyway. I know you really do like it. That's more of a weaker sense of self if that's the default.
Okay.
But a stronger sense of self can be, I know that he really does like this, and I like that too. And, you know, so it's all about how I relate myself to that aspect. It's not necessarily what I do or don't do as much as we often think. Does that make sense?
You're making it sound more, it's like more like an initiation thing. Strong sense of self means I'm someone that initiates, and vice versa.
Okay.
Is that really what we're saying here?
Well, from the outset, yes, because a lot of it, what you talked about earlier, you made a comment earlier of how often this can still just become part of a routine to where, well, we start, we make out a little bit, we get into the bed, the clothes come off, you go down on me, I go down on you, then we have sex, and then we're done. I mean, that's kind of a normal routine, although you can take out one or two of those steps.
Right. Well, there's probably a lot of people listening saying, wow, I wish I had the you go down on me, I go down on you one, right? Because my guess is the routine doesn't include that for
most
people.
That's fair, because it actually turns into the foreplay gets shortened because it's time to move on to the next thing and then move on.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of that is just looking at it as, I don't mean initiating the act of our sexual encounters in and of itself. I mean, initiating within the acts of our sex lives also.
Now I gotcha.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
no,
how else do
there.
I know my presence and my spouse's presence without instigating a couple of things here and there, leading things a couple of different ways here and there. And a lot of times that comes down to how's my sense of self? Because if we keep getting shot down enough, I'm not bold enough to keep trying.
Okay. So I guess the evaluation comes in then if I'm, I guess, or is what you're saying, look at your sense of self, right? Do you ever want to, you know, your spouse likes something
look
and you're
not.
Look at
how aware you are throughout the various aspects of your sex life and how engaged you are. Like, where's your mind going during these?
And if I know my mind is wandering and I'm not engaged, what do I do with that?
Right.
That's what I'm asking you, Mr. Therapist.
That's going to be the extended
Dr.
content
Allen.
Today.
That's the extended content. Okay.
But
because that's the key. I think we got a lot of people that are listening and because that's, I think it's a normal state of mind of this is just kind of where I am and I'm not engaged. I'm just walking through the
steps. I think
steps.
This is the one that I want to kind of really land. Thank you for this. This is the one that I really want to help land is I think I'm engaged because I'm focusing on the pleasure and it does feel really, really good.
But on my pleasure or their pleasure?
Your own.
Or both? My own. Okay.
So if oral sex is being performed on you, and you are really engaged in the sensations of it and focusing on, I mean, Masterson Johnson actually came up with sensate focus as a way to really kind of turn inward and focus on the feelings that are going on in your body and trying to get the mechanisms lined up that get you up the scale to an orgasmic level. And that's a natural process.
Which sounds amazing.
It absolutely does. But a lot of times that focus on internal pleasure is at the exclusion of who is with you doing these things and participating alongside you or providing these things. And and that's one time where a lot of times I think people when they come into my office and they talk about, I just feel like we're disconnected. And so I'll start asking these kinds of questions. Okay, well where's your mind go?
Yeah.
During the different aspects of your sexual encounters, because Ian Kerner uses the framework of there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And you can look at it all the way through. You can look at foreplay that way. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and the end. There's a sexual encounter where that's beyond foreplay. That's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you can kind of unpack it all. And what's your mental experience through it all? What's your presence through it all? Because sometimes I can turn inward. Because I want to just get more in touch and in tune with me. But trying to ask yourself, looking back at those situations, is that at the exclusion for a short term of your spouse and their presence and their engagement? Because I believe a lot of times the exclusion happens because the spouse that's performing said oral sex, their presence isn't there either. They're thinking about technique. Are they liking this? I don't know what I'm doing here. What am I supposed to do next? You know, it's a spectatoring on how am I doing, not who am I in the experience of this. I think those are two drastically different routes.
I can see where you're going with this. How do you get past that piece though, right?
Okay. Good question. Because then it starts to get into being more self-validated and more aware or attuned to what's going on with you and your spouse. So it's like, it's a both and, it's not an either or. right? So it's looking at it into a lens of how do I utilize what's going on with me and really do the work? Because I believe what we're going to talk about, the extended content, most of this work is not going to happen initially in the midst of oral sex experiences yet.
Fair.
It's going to come down. It's going to come down to how do I do some revisualization, if you will, or some inventory, if you will, of what's going on with me when I think about these aspects and I look at the way I carry myself and conduct myself. Where is there a reluctance, an insecurity, a disconnect, a discomfort, an anxiety at play? And just try to be honest. Have an assessment of where is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I can, I mean, just to make it kind of real, I can have an element of anxiety that will happen still within the interactions you and I can have sexually that I can then let just run rampant and then I become passive or I get caught up in my own head or history comes into play or when will this last as long as I hope it does or I hope it doesn't go, you know, all these different things, which that's anxiety based, that's insecurity based. And if I can switch that and have more awareness and then bring you into that, that's the key to switching and using this to become more differentiated, to become more present, more engaged, and have. So if we go on this side of the extreme of insecurity, lack of self-awareness, whatever it might be, I love the word moving into the world of more prowess.
Okay.
In our sex lives, in my sex life, right? Of more presence, more engagement, more instigating, but then recovering and following a connection. Because if you talk about some of the best sexual experiences out there, the way Schnarch talks about this is it's follow the connection sex, right? You have a moment of meeting, you have a moment of presence with each other, and you kind of follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads where you go next. And it's because you instigate something and I'm like, yeah, let's go there. And because think about it, how often have we done something out of the norm, if you will, where it's just a subtle shift of let's change it up. And is there a momentary, okay, that's different. You know, even just a little bit of a, where's this going to go?
Mm-hmm.
What's this about?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because we have old maps.
Yeah,
that are like, no, this is the way we do it. Why are you altering? What are you doing? This is reliable. We know it'll work. And most of the problem with the downfall of most of that is it's reliable for one of us, maybe not both of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so this requires each side to really start to examine what's going on with me, and then more importantly, what do I want with me in this aspect of my life? Because those are the deeper, harder questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be what we talked about before in the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Well, is that an avoiding question or answer to that question? Or is it a truly, I don't know, but do I have the willingness to start seeking out to know?
That's the hope, right?
Well, that's what you're being presented with.
Well, then I'm throwing in the big cherry bomb.
Okay.
At the end of this segment of, do they care? Do they care enough to change, to look at...
To ask that question.
And ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Right, because then if we boil it down to... I can't come up with a percentage of clients I've worked with that have come up with this kind of a dynamic on why they're coming to see me over the 23 years I've been doing this now. But the larger percentage of the ones that I've had that are coming to see me for this issue or the people that email in, a willingness to actually sit with the depth of that question and ask it individually really then shifts what we are really facing, doesn't it?
Sure.
It moves from why won't they ever, or how come they don't? Because if you think about it, if there's a marriage that's got history, you know what your spouse wants. you have an idea.
You have a pretty good idea.
That they like this, yeah. And they would prefer this, and they would love for you to wear this or lead it this way or approach you this way. And so it's not like it's not lack of information most of the time. Instead, it's lack of want to, lack of care, which that's a deeper issue to have to face. And so...
I got nothing to say on that. It is a deeper issue to face.
That's the scary one.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we don't want to face that and accept that's what I'm really facing. That's what's really going on in my marriage. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean it's disastrous or hopeless. It just means now we have a more accurate view of what I'm actually facing.
Yeah.
And then I need to figure out what do I do with that?
Yeah.
Which that's where we're going to head in the extended content.
Perfect.
As we segue into the extended content, we left the regular version with, I guess it kind of felt ominous.
Dun, dun, dun. Do they care?
If you will. But it also, I think, is in a lot of ways is much more accurate of that's really what we're facing is...
Okay.
How do I come up and face better who my spouse actually is? This is the theme we've had a lot of times of who my spouse is rather than who I wish they were. Right? Because it's like, okay, that's now I understand what we're really wrestling with. But more importantly than that is a step of who am I?
Yeah, I was going to say,
I saw your mind working.
All right.
Because to me, so the what do I do about this is really a lot more contingent on the first step being how do I have acknowledgement and accept this is where I am. This is where we are. Because don't we too often get caught up in and bemoan, why is it this? Why is this? Why, you know, and it's the why, whys, which often are about my spouse more than they are me.
Yeah, I think that there in so many aspects of life, I learned this a lot in going through some like support group things for caregivers of those with dementia, right? I'm not living in the same house as mom, not even in the same state as, but one of the first things that really just caught my mind was, it's not going to do you any good to get mad about where things are.
Right.
It doesn't do you any good that they don't remember something. So it's the same thing here. It's not going to do you any good to get mad about where the state of your relationship is. You have to look for solutions. This is everything in life. Look for solutions. And the first place it has to start is the only thing you can control, which is you.
Right.
And that's where I kind of come down to in a lot of this. You're exactly right. It's not going to do any good to...
It just further compounds everything.
Right.
And it also lets the system off the hook a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes it to where neither of us really have to face what our own role and culpability is in this dynamic in my sex life.
Yeah.
And so if I can really get to where I can recognize that this is existing and I can recognize and acknowledge that there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, if not most instances, it's normal because all of us come into our sex lives with some anxiety initially. Mm-hmm. And I use this whenever I speak to new audiences of when you first heard as a kid about the concept of French kissing, it's very likely you were a little bit appalled, if not disgusted by it. Like, you do what?
What?
You kid? Why would you stick your tongue down each other's throat? That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's disgusting. And then you grow up and you muster the courage to try it out. And it's like, that felt really awkward. I don't know, but there's something about it I kind of liked. And And then you grow into comfort with it. It's not like the act changed. It's your anxiety surrounding it changed.
Yes.
That's the whole concept of what we're talking about here today.
Yes.
Because oral sex is the same way. When you hear about oral sex as a kid, you're like, you put your mouth where?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you know what else goes on there? No. I'm going nowhere near that. I'll stay up north. Thank you. Rather than, hold on. Maybe there's something here. And you just try it out, and it's usually completely anxiety-filled or excitement-filled, which is the same thing as anxiety.
Mm.
And I learn to calm myself down and have more presence and more engagement. And so when I can accept the dynamic, I'm better already off the bat, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because then I know exactly what I'm facing. And then that leads into, how do I challenge the automatic interpretations that happen anytime this subject comes up in my sex life with my spouse or in my own thought life?
And interesting, you say automatic interpretations. And to me, that sounds to me like I've mapped and I've made assumptions about what my spouse is thinking.
Right.
And no matter what they, well, the bulk of whatever they say, I'm already going to make assumptions about what that means.
Yeah.
Which may not be on target.
Well, it was on target when the initial one started, typically.
Yeah.
The initial interpretation, this goes back to how we started the show, when you're talking about if you've got a traumatic history with this, the initial interpretation is still present in your brain. That map is still there.
Sure. Sure.
And so being willing to challenge the automatic interpretation to, okay, yes, early on in my marriage, he wanted this all the time and he just was really bad at it. He was fumbly and anxious and he didn't know what he was doing. I've actually had that in my office. That's a conversation we've had several times with married couples.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was fumbly and teeth were involved And so now, anytime the subject comes up again, where do you think our interpretation is initially going to come from? It's accurate in some ways,
mm-hmm,
because of our entry into it. And that was so anxiety-filled. Of course, I can have an initial knee-jerk reaction. But if I want to grow up and differentiate in this aspect of my life, how do I challenge those? And that's typically done after the fact. It's hard to do in real time.
Okay.
Because typically you will come into me with some idea or some thought about something in our life, whether it's sexual or not. And there are a lot of times where timing is off. Right? I'm not already thinking about it. I'll instigate something with you while you're at work, and timing is way off for me then.
Yeah.
Because you're not thinking about that. And so your automatic interpretation is, God, why are you bothering me? You're always, and that's where we start going down this thread,
mm-hmm,
rather than, okay, wait, put it in context. Who are we now? Ask some better questions.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I now? Because there's a lot of times where it's like, wait, no, I really do like this, actually. But my knee-jerk reaction would have shown I don't. Okay, what's that about? And now I've got, mm-hmm, a whole different route I can start to wrestle with, and then what I do about that makes it different or not.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because if I can look at it with, I'm challenging my own maps, and then I learn how to self-confront or self-soothe and realize, yeah, that was once, but is it now? Or do I want this or not? What do I need to do about that? You know, where I really start wrestling with some things, then I can present something different. And that's typically through how I initiate something, how I'm present with something, how I engage with something.
How I respond to it, yeah, how I bring it up later if it didn't necessarily go well, right? The way that the manner I bring it up. Because, you know, like is a common thread, sometimes bringing it up and responding to something that's not going well isn't necessarily the best in the heat of the moment.
Right. Well, but also looking at it through this lens of when I can see myself better and then show my spouse I see myself better, that is a really big differentiated move.
Well, it's confidence, right? Does it?
Yeah, but it also, because here's, all right, quick aside.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm going out on too dicey of a territory here, because you've talked about this before, but in your own life of
dun, dun, dun.
Knee-jerk okay. reactions that can happen.
Okay.
Because it's a family trait, if you kind of go through some of your family of
origin. Oh, yes. I have really quick reactions that are heated and not so pretty.
Right.
Yes.
So there's an element of you coming back when this was really starting to hit different aspects of our marriage.
Uh-huh.
And you would have a knee-jerk reaction to something of me that was, it could have been a full-blown mistake that a reaction was warranted, but it mm-hmm. was a little bit more over the top.
Sure.
Or it was just something that was like inconvenient to your time frame, and that knee-jerk reaction comes in, and you getting to where you're like coming back to me and saying, hey, I'm sorry about that. You know, it's like a level of awareness
yeah.
that then you take account for mm-hmm. is one step in this process. But what I'm talking about is, because this is why I think I can say this safely, because you've done this many a time now, where you come to me and actually, I'm paraphrasing, we're able to say, I see how difficult it can be for you because of my reactions.
Yeah.
And I don't like that about me.
For sure.
And I'm working on that. Or something to that mm-hmm. effect. That's a better step towards actually growing and apologizing and confronting and dealing with things, because then I see that you see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where it's, then we start separating this process into you are your own person taking on your own self in the presence of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to be somebody that totally reacts well every single time. That'd be nice, but it's not going to happen
mm-hmm.
because we're human. And so if there's not graciousness still allowed both ways here,
mm-hmm.
where do we have the opportunities to truly connect and grow and love and care for one another?
Mm-hmm.
And now if we switch this to the oral sex context from today's show, it's the same context of, this would be being able to say to your spouse, I realize this is something you've been uncomfortable with, but what I've seen is a level of comfort growing into it and an engagement in it. It's just different. The feeling's different. That's what I think most couples are actually seeking, where it's, I'm feeling and experiencing the essences of you, not just what we do or don't do.
I think a key in what you're talking about there, though, is it's not staying stagnant where we've always been.
Yeah.
It's you're seeing someone work on themselves, evaluate themselves, right. and want to become a better human being overall that then the relationship gets the benefit of.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, so if we keep this going forward on what do we do about this?
And I want to back up.
Go.
A better human being overall doesn't mean that, yes, now they're giving in and they want to have it oral sex. Maybe they still don't want it.
Absolutely. They may grow to where it's a confident, this is not something I can see myself doing, and it's a true differentiated stance. Or it's not something I know what I'm doing and I really don't want to learn. And that can be a true differentiated stance.
It is a differentiated stance. It may not be the one you want them to have. But sorry, I just wanted to...
Yeah.
It's not like in this episode we're saying that...
Follow these steps and you're going to have mind-blowing oral sex encounters. No. Because I don't want to be tabloids with this. Because that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
This is about actually adjusting and growing to be alongside the spouse you have
mm-hmm.
and who they are, not who you want them to be,
mm-hmm.
right? That's still the pressure that exists, but it's getting to that point where I'm facing who they are.
Respecting, loving. Yeah.
Right. So if we keep following this thread, if first you acknowledge it, then you challenge the automatic assumptions and interpretations. Then we learn how to self-confront and self-soothe, which is really just ask ourselves better question and heal my own wounds rather than I can't believe they always blah, blah, blah. Instead of, okay, what is it about me? What am I afraid of facing in this? What am I afraid of being honest about in this? And one of the ways you can do this is challenge your own and examine your own contradictions. Because sometimes, how often can we be playful about this aspect of our life when there's no possibility of it actually happening? I can have an edge to me and a vibrancy to me and a playfulness to me. And then when we get in the midst of it, that playfulness is not existent.
I'm not going to follow through.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that's present, because we are a lot of times as human beings walking and talking contradictions. Because I present myself as one way.
You're meddling
but
now.
I'm not.
And I don't want to hear it.
That person. Well, that's how I can grow the best.
Yeah.
And getting it into this element of how would it play out if I'm really present in this in my life? Because one of the things becomes, like this, we started it this way with what would it look like if I'm more differentiated or less differentiated or self-validating or, you know, or developed, if you will. In some regards, somebody that's got a little bit more solid sense of self can be more directive with what they're wanting and leading towards. And then also, more importantly, handle when it doesn't go the direction they want.
Okay.
Right. They don't crumble. Yeah. It hurts. The rejection's still there. The disappointment's still there. But it's not at the expense of the continued engagement. Because a lot of couples, we've been here. I'll own it. I've been here. It didn't go the way I maybe wanted it to. So I just went through the motions. Because at least it was sex. Right. And so it's like, okay, wait, because I was hurt, I was disappointed, and I really would love to have been caretaked then rather than, hold on, what's that about? How do I follow a connection and engagement? Because sometimes the connection is not always what I want, but I can still have a connection. Another example can be for a wife when a husband is performing oral sex. Is she participating at all by spreading labia and helping with access, or is she just laying back, hoping, letting him do whatever he does, and maybe lost in the feelings, but also could be lost in other thoughts, which that's not engagement. That's where it's confronting myself when I'm more developed. I have more prowess and like, no, this is what I want. Do it this way. Touch me here. And it's like I'm helping my spouse be a student of me. That's the directiveness I think that would be better. Rather than just saying what I want, I'm also informing my spouse what does it for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where connection can come. It's not a, and it's crazy because you think about any situation, that's where connection can come from. But then again, you get the extreme where it's no, do it this way. And it's a, you know, a demand or I don't know, everything has its own like boundaries to make it an inviting experience. Right. Cause I can say what I want or guide and direct, and it can be in a terrible way.
Yeah, it can.
It can be done horribly, or it can be done really well.
Right. Well,
and that's between the two of you to know how that connection, that communication is going.
Yeah.
Within your individual experience.
Yeah. And a lot of that, I think, is more tied to how well do I maintain my connection when the connection goes ways I'm not wanting it to go initially.
Yeah.
Because I can, that's part of the whole process. If you think about it, a lot of the best sex encounters out there are series of connections, disconnection, connection, disconnection, connection, disconnection. On various levels. Because you tried, I mean, if you go on just the surface level of, you start the physical engagement, whatever it is that you look like, whether it's intercourse or it's oral sex or heavy petting or just making out or manual stimulation, whatever it might be. and it's not doing it for you. So you change up the position. That's a disconnection for the moment. And then it's a reconnection on a physical level. Well, what we're talking about is the entirety of all the levels.
That's interesting because I don't even see that as a disconnection. I see that could be a connection point because we're really talking to each other about
it. Yep.
We got to shift.
Well,
right?
So then it's a reframe of a connection on a different level of our being while we're disconnected in another level of our being.
Okay.
We're disconnecting here for a second.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
But it's just seeing it as when you can look at this whole act in and of itself and what does it mean to me and to us, the goal then becomes, I need to challenge my own meanings, look at my own contradictions that are going on in my own inner mental world and thought processes and past and history and hopes and fears and excitements, all of that. And the more I can make that congruent with how I'm living, the better I will be, the more grown up I'll be, mm-hmm. which will then in turn impact the system without fail. It will. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, smooth sailing, but it does mean I can get better at facing what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at the dynamics that play out and bring myself better to it by challenging the beliefs. Because all of us have this concept of if we look at the arc of our life, every single one of us have challenged beliefs and adopted new ones or refined old ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the in and of itself, that's what we're talking about today. Is just getting more in line with how I view things, how I bring myself to bear, how I present myself, how I seek things, how I engage in things. And if I can really come to grips with the meanings and the beliefs I've got on all of these different aspects of my sex life, I increase the likelihood I'll actually be able to connect better, regardless of what we do or don't do.
Yeah.
Because it's more me present. It's more me there. And the hopes then become it's more you alongside me.
That would be the goal.
And when we can look at it, now I have a better question and view of what I'm really facing, which again, this has been the theme we've had a lot of times. What's the biggest issue in my sex life? Me.
Me, yes.
And if I can start there, I got a much better likelihood of really then facing and asking the better questions of what's really going on. And then continue to keep asking that question of what's going on? What does this expose in me?
Mm-hmm.
And keep working that path because it's a better dynamic. And it's been the dynamic you and I have had, if you think about it, over the 31 years. So the last 15 to 20 years, this has been, in a nutshell, what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Of I took a step forward, it challenged you. You take a step forward, it challenges me. And doesn't mean I rise to the challenge completely to your level, but I do. It does adjust it enough that now all of a sudden there's a different understanding, a different presence, a different engagement. And then the cycle keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And that's how we use all of this to not just have better oral sex, but to just be better people in the doing of oral sex or not, whatever our sex lives are. It's just, there's better people involved. And that's the goal I've got all the time with when we talk about the different episodes we do with Sexy Marriage mm-hmm. Radio.
It's fascinating to me to rethink and revisit some of the old episodes. I even do this occasionally from the way back since we've been around for 14 years. I'll even go back into the archives way, way back and listen again and just like, wow, that's still spot on, at least from where I sit today. Or I think I might refine that slightly. And so the hope would be a chance just to revisit some of these. Maybe you've missed it. Maybe you've heard it before, and it's always good to repeat and hear some things again. So if we left something undone or you want some more information, we'd love to know. 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took some time out to spend with us, thanks. See you next time.